wow, that was awesome. Oh, God.
I have been waiting 7 days to get that to move out of my lungs.
Whew. Now you got to find a way to get it up off the floor.
That's, you know what? That's what Watson. Watson, clean up aisle three.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. QRM. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, that virtual Youper. Tonight, was it a blizzard? Some say yes, some say no. The FCC redefines broadband. And wait, run a speed test. All that and more on Late Night. QRM. And now, digitally gathering in the frozen icicle that once was the QRM studios.
Before you die!
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to the Late Night QRM show number 170 from the very frigid, cold Monadnock region of southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And also equally cold and frigid, but from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the also frozen Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And from Mercy EMS, this is Medic Mike, the virtual Uber.
And everybody, before we get started with the stories, what are we drinking?
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
And I'll start, since I'm first on the list. I am drinking a new substitute for Red Stag Spiced. We can't seem to get it anymore, but I was looking for something to replace that, and lo and behold, right next to it was Jim Beam Fire, which said cinnamon. And it's supposed to be kind of like a fireball, but it's not hot like a fireball, but it is nice and cinnamony. Say that five times real fast.
It is nice and cinnamony. It is nice and cinnamony. It is nice and cinnamony. Ah, oh, fuck it.
So that's what I'm drinking, and it's pretty good. You know, I think some of our Canadian friends should try it.
I think that's way, way, way low on the shelves of the bourbon. Our Canadian brethren, especially one in particular, Anthony, would even consider drinking. He might use that to melt snow on his sidewalk. But never for consumption. Huh? I understand he's got exquisite taste and really good expensive bourbons.
This one wasn't that cheap. It wasn't that expensive either, but it goes down like soda pop.
By the way, you're silencing so bad right now, I think you're from the set of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, let me do a speed test.
Quick, run a speed test.
It always seems to solve my problem. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I know, you can't hear me. Oh, God.
Yeah, I can hear you. Now it's like you scare it to behave itself.
I'm running a speed test.
You're on speed?
Oh, look at that ping go.
What thing?
Look at that thing go.
Ping,
look at that
ping,
thing.
Ping.
Look at that thing.
Oh, I see you have a machine that goes ping.
He means that song, Give Me That Thing.
Oh, give me that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, ring-a-ding-ding? What?
Okay, download's good.
Dr. Ming.
Oh, he's playing with his ding-a-ling.
Oh, because none of us can hear what he's saying, so we'll just guess.
I have no upload.
You have no what?
They sell medication that'll help it come up and then load.
They have pills for that now.
Exactly. So if you have problems with your upload, talk to your doctor. But the side effects are that you may be restless. You're going to really like looking at the internet more. And if it lasts longer than 5 hours, you really need to see a doctor.
Have a party.
Oh, God. You know, it's interesting. It just gave me upload speed, 0.76. And it goes, are you using Fairpoint Communications?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am using Fairpoint.
Fairpoint. All right. Fairpoint. Well, come on. Let's continue on with the list. Barty, you're next.
Oh, well, I'm enjoying a fine glass of brandy that my sweet bride handed to me.
Nice.
Oh, well, may I ask, being one who likes to partake of brandy more frequently than, say, most, what brand might we be having?
I don't know. She bought it.
I didn't even
know we had any until she brought it.
Perfect.
So, but to be honest, I don't really care.
I concur. Any brandy is better than no brandy.
Damn straight.
That's right.
I myself should have a few more of these before I start the show.
I'm having an
apple Smirnoff sour apple teeny.
All right.
Yeah, seeing how I really love the flavor of, you know, apples. And yes, I do like fruity drinks because I'm such a fruity personality kind of person. So I figure, why the hell not? And pretty good stuff. Good stuff.
And Michael?
Puffy, black, strong. I like EMS coffee. It also works for stripping paint if you need to.
The up all night brand of coffee.
You betcha. Well, actually, on EMS coffee, it gives you the strength and the energy to get out the door. And if you've been in EMS long enough, you can go to sleep right after drinking a pot of coffee.
That's
literally
true.
I could go to sleep now if I needed to.
Wow.
How about that? Now, is the brand name of that coffee called Jitters?
Yeah, it
could be,
actually.
Super strength, and you can leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get into the place, what we used to call topics, but I've changed it to Days of Our Lives because it's where we tell stories about what has happened in the past week. So without ado, here's Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Oh, so relaxing.
It is. Night-night.
Well, the big story here, at least in New Hampshire, was the... Oh, wait a minute. I'm on the wrong tab here. Wait a minute. I'm the dreaded... blizzard that wasn't a blizzard! Although
Except
it did have a lot of snow.
Was.
Huh?
Except at my house it was.
Well, it wasn't a blizzard, though.
It tended to vary widely.
There are criteria to officially define a storm as a blizzard, and it did not meet it. However,
it did meet it in Nashua.
No, it
did. And I looked at that city. Yes, it did. No. I looked at the criteria as well.
No.
I wanted to argue with you on this so bad on our G+ page. It was eating away at me.
It didn't meet the wind qualifications, even at the shore. However, it was a huge nor'easter. It was huge. And not so much where I live in the Monadnock region, but where Joel lives. Well, Joel was in the hot seat. He got the brunt of this huge nor'easter.
Blizzard.
It wasn't a blizzard.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
A blizzard. Described a severe snowstorm with high winds and low visibility.
Yes, but it has sustaining winds.
Overabundance or deluge of snow. Well, 33 and a half inches, and I couldn't see 6 inches in front of my goddamn face. That's a blizzard.
Yeah, but there's sustaining winds that have to be taken. And although there were high winds, they weren't sustaining. at the proper MPH. So therefore, it was just a very large nor'easter. Almost a blizzard, but it didn't quite make it.
I will argue with you and disagree with you on this to the end of my last breath.
Well, just because you had a lot of snow.
No, it's because of the wind, hence why the siding got ripped off the side of my house.
But it didn't meet blizzard criteria.
Measured where by whom?
By the National Weather Service, because the National Weather Service is the operation, the organization that declares blizzards for this country.
But they get their information from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, who did declare it a blizzard.
I didn't see that.
So go to NOAA.gov. That's the only website. See, unlike most who like to go to fancy agencies that don't actually own the hardware to measure a storm, I go to the agency that actually shot the fucking satellite in the outer goddamn space. That makes them the authority. And but, when every news agency goes to them to find out what's the ocean going to be like, what's the weather going to be like, and then they put their own little twist and spin on it, well, they can twist and spin to their heart's content. I'd rather go straight to the source.
But
and NOAA said it was a blizzard.
I don't think so, but I'll go check it out.
Well, either way, all I got to say is I'm glad it didn't come out here.
Yeah, really.
The closest it got was, I think, like a two-hour drive from here. There were people that were getting like a few inches of snow out of it, and they were getting heavy winds. So, but up at my house, all we got were clouds, so I can live with that.
Yeah, we got 4 to 8 inches out here, although, you know, it was enough to be a pain in the ass, but... Joel's area got socked with this big time. And north of Boston got socked. Well, Boston did too, but more north of Boston.
And you see those houses at the seacoast where the wind was so hard that it drove the seawater right up over the top of the houses?
Yes, yeah. The high tide came in.
So here's the definition. The official definition from the National Weather Service defines a blizzard as a storm which contains large amounts of snow or, not and, or blowing snow with winds in excess of 35 miles per hour and visibility of less than 1/4 of a mile for an extended period of time. At least 3 hours. Well, the first half of that definition, which defines a blizzard as contains a large amount of snow, 33 and a half inches is a large fucking amount of snow. Blizzard. Thank you.
Well, I'm just telling you that the National Weather Service did not declare it.
I just read the definition of the National Weather Service off their website.
But they didn't declare it. Matter of fact, what's his name? Mike Haddad on Channel 9 corrected everybody because he said they didn't declare it a blizzard. They declared it a large nor'easter.
Because he lives in Monadnock where you got 8
pussy. No, he doesn't.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't live in Manchester. He lives down in, I don't know where he lives, but he lives down in Manchester area somewhere.
So. Again, didn't get as much as we did. All I know is when I was on my 5th go-around with the snowblower, and I'm saying to myself, this isn't a blizzard, Barry. You're so full of shit.
Well, just saying, a couple Octobers ago, we got 31 inches on Halloween, and that was not a blizzard. It was a large nor'easter.
Okay.
Take a swallow and let's move on.
Moveon.org.
Just chill, dudes.
Well, I was going on to let Joel tell his stories about the large nor'easter.
Oh, God, wouldn't it suck if you got Lou Gehrig's disease? Anyway, so... Anyway, it was five go-arounds. I wanted to keep up with it. My snowblower's not one of those super ginormous twin triple auger friggin' snowblowers. It's a simple little Honda 5-horsepower snowblower. And it does a hell of a job. But I didn't want to have to worry about, I mean, the chute's only like 28 inches tall. I see guys out there with ones that I swear to God are 4 feet. But nevertheless, that engine, that whatever's powering that, is still going to get the living heck worked out of it with the more snow. So do it a couple of times. I was a grand total in 2 days, 5 times. Yes, it was fun. Yes, it was a workout. Yes, God almighty, am I glad I have a Honda snowblower and not a shitty Craftsman or something from Home Cheapo. But I watched more neighbors with their gigantic 3.5 foot tall auger mouth rah 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 Home Depot specials just bleh, freaking die. And I'm out there with my little, mind you, 30-year-old Honda snowblower. To the HS55, just trucking away, cutting paths. And I had actually one neighbor came over and said, dude, what? He goes, you're out here every friggin' snowstorm, and you never have a problem. What the hell brand is that? I said, it's a Honda. And he said, I got to buy one. I said, good luck. It's 30 years old. So, yeah, it was my nor'easter blizzard snow. It was actually pretty fun. I have to say I hate having to snow blow out enough room for 9 cars.
So when you snow blow your whole yard?
And no, that's just the driveway. That's just Barry's seen it. Yeah. You can get 9 cars in my driveway.
Yeah, and it's like a parking lot. So.
And you guys actually kind of know.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. Have a good night.
Alrighty. See ya.
All right, Michael.
Michael. Be safe. And realistically, you guys knowing me, I usually have at any given time 3 or 4 cars filling up out of some of those 9 spots. But this happens to be one of those few times where I only had 1 in the driveway. But I still clean out all the spots. And but yeah, no, it was cool. You know, I have to say, when the sun finally came out and the wind definitely went under the 35 miles per hour. In other words, when it knocked down. It wasn't that bad cleaning up. That last couple of cleanouts was pretty fun, until the wind shifted and then it blew it all back in your face. And we all know about that. You're just going away and it's chucking it off to one side and whoosh, boosh, and you're wearing everything that came out of that chute in the last 5 feet. But yeah, it was cool. And then we're getting another one Monday into Sunday. Sunday into Monday.
Yeah. Another 6 to 12, what they're saying right now. It keeps going up every hour, though. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. It should be fun. Good times.
Yeah, that storm's supposed to be coming past us, but I think the bulk of it's going to be going south of us. Yeah. And then turning up to hit you guys right square in the middle.
Right, because it's the jet stream is positioned where anything that's comes up and around the loop comes right up and smacks us right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where the jet stream is right now. So we're going to get smacked with every damn storm.
Yeah, you're in the 6 to 12. I'm in the 10 to 18.
Yeah, well, that's where the jet stream's aiming it more toward the coast. And you're closer to the coast.
So. Huh? I can't let it go.
Oh, by the way, the National Weather Service is the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
Well, their website.
Yeah, that was who Joel read the definition from.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right from them.
Right from them.
But they didn't declare it.
From them. You know, them guys. Their folks.
And their definition was or, not and.
Well, I saw that definition, but they didn't. They declared it a large nor'easter. Just telling you. So I don't know whether the 35 mile per hour sustaining winds was sustaining. Might have gusts be above 35, but
you're still hung up on the wind, and I'm telling you, it's the first half of that definition.
I'm just telling you that they didn't declare it a blizzard.
Who the fuck are they?
The National Oceanographic and Administrative Administration. The ones with all the instruments.
Sure, I can fucking tell you that because it was.
Just because you want it to be a blizzard doesn't make it a blizzard.
Yeah, but you're trying to friggin' spin it for the fun of it just in saying it wasn't. And I'm saying it was. Here, it was.
Okay. Not according to the NOAA.
Let's keep moving on, shall we? Who's fixing an outlet?
I did.
3 hours.
Well,
did you do it in the middle of a blizzard?
Or was it under 35 mile an hour?
It was under 35. It was. So there, we had this outlet that was cheaply put in by a sleazy contractor many moons ago when we had one put in. Actually, he didn't connect it to anything but the wallboard. And it became loose and it pulled out. So that's when I found out about the magical... I'm thinking of it. God, it just left my brain. The
Chipotle?
No, Chipotle, yes. The Joel, help me there. The
blizzard.
No.
No, the nor'easter.
Nor'easter, that's right.
The wall, whenever the handy box, the wall box is mounted, usually you mount the box
yes,
to a
no, side. No, we got the, whatchamacallit.
You got what's called battleships? Or,
battleships, or, yeah, the other name, which I can't think of.
Or, yeah. Jesus Christ. I always been calling them battleships. Yeah. But what they do is they hook on the backside of the drywall.
Madison bars,
and then they bend inside the actual box and hold the box physically in place so it doesn't push further into the wall.
Right. So I took the cover off, and today was the day I was going to replace or tighten up. Well, we actually replaced the plastic box that was in there with a metal box and mount it with Madison bars since there was no stud near it. Mm-hmm. And the first thing was, of course, I went down to the electric box that is got notes on every switch about what each switch controls, and they're all wrong. So it's always a matter of I try and try, and I don't know why I try this, but I'm always flipping them on and off, you know, certain ones, and they're never the right ones. So I end up at the end going click, 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 click on each one. And of course my wife had a radio plugged into the outlet and we were just waiting for the radio to turn off. She goes, there we go, it's off. Okay, so it was on the lights circuit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not the kitchen power or outlet circuit that's in there. It's on the lights circuit. Okay, so I, you know, all the rooms have outlet circuits and light circuits, and this one's on the light circuit. All the other outlets are on outlet circuits. So, I don't know. Again, it was added, so maybe they just added it into the closest circuit they could come with. So anyway, so the power is off.
Does that receptacle, is it controlled by a switch on the wall?
No.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so then it just jumps in.
Yeah. So I pull off the... cover and I pull out the plastic box because it's just hanging there loose, and I get the wires out of the box, and so I push them to the side and I get one of the metal boxes and I'm kind of putting it in to see, and then I realized that, well, actually I put the wires in, I tightened up the you know, the little thing, the thing that holds the cable wire whatever inside
Romex connector.
Yes, it's built in, so you just have to tighten it up. So it's nice and tight in there, and of course it's now bent into the proper position because it's one of those ones that, you know, bends.
You had to run a speed test.
So
do a speed test.
Oh, do a speed test.
Say something about kibble.
Hang on. I can't believe I got to run a speed test.
Now it just cleared up. The minute we said speed test, it clears up.
Yeah, I hit the start of the speed test, and it clears up.
Nope, I lied. It just silenced again. Speed test.
I'm doing a speed test right now. Oh, the ping rate is fantastic. Oh, actually, it's not bad. It was 44. Oh, download speeds are lower. What an interesting podcast.
I'm convinced there's somebody at Fairpoint who listens to the data stream and unencrypts it. And they know when you're getting ready to talk, they just there's a knob, a rheostat. Now, you know how on the Marshall amp you can turn it up to 11?
Yeah.
They turn yours down to 1.
Minus
just to piss you off.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll get this story
every
done.
Every time they hear the word
I'll get this story done real
every
quick.
Every time they hear the word yes, they fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got that all, and the box is ready to go in. I push the box into the hole, and then I realize that the hole that was cut is about an inch too long, bigger than the actual box, and therefore the Madison bars don't quite make the gap. So I said, ah, crap, now I got to fill in the frickin' hole that's there. So I go and I cut out a piece of wallboard so I can do it. And then, of course, I said, well, how am I going to connect that? So I put a piece of wood behind the...
Wow,
the...
this is bad. Holy fucking
yeah.
shit.
Something I mean, about a hole and he was bored?
You couldn't understand one word for the last sentence, paragraph.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Now it's clear.
I just hit speed pass. Speed test. Seriously.
Speed
I just hit the speed test.
He's on the highway.
Speed pass. As soon as I hit the speed test, it clears up.
Yes, it does.
Interesting.
Okay, I'm just going to keep hitting the button. I'm going to be running speed tests the entire time. I mean,
push the button.
So, wait a minute, let me hit it. Oh, no, it's still running. So I put in a piece of wood and I put in a little filler piece, and then it hit me. Gee, now the Madison bar's not going to go up there because I got a piece of wood there. So then it dawned on me, okay, I'll just put another piece of wood down on the bottom part, even though I don't need to put any wallboard there. And then I put the box in and I screwed the box right to the pieces of wood. That was my fix. And it's nice and tight and it's in there. But yeah, I got a bunch of spackling to do. So
yeah, that's yeah, cosmetics and spackling and a little sanding.
Yeah. So caulk and paint, make it what it ain't.
15-minute job.
Yeah, 15-minute job. It ended up being like 3 hours by the time I was done. And I joked with my wife. I joked with her. I said, I'm going to sit down there. This should take 15 minutes. It's probably going to take me 3 hours. It did. It absolutely took me three freaking minutes. Of course, half that time was spent trying to find my tools that are anywhere but the toolbox. And that's not my fault, because I always put my tools back. But somebody else likes to use my tools. Well, let me hit a speed test.
Speed pass.
Yeah, all we heard was like, you couldn't find your tool. I'm not a personal problem.
So needless to say, yes, after finding all my tools from assorted rooms all over the house, I finished the job and I put all the tools back into their proper place in the toolbox, which I know by this time next week they'll all be out and somewhere else. Because
at least you know that, you know, in advance. So
yes,
it won't surprise you.
But it's kind of like an Easter egg hunt every time I got to do a project. You know? Where's my Phillips head screwdriver? Oh, okay, that's the big one. Now where's the small one I need? You know?
Well, I grew up raising two sons. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I got used to having multiple sets of tools, because when you have young boys in the house, your tools are always gone.
Mm. Yep.
So you always try to keep them separate sets scattered around so that you always have some available after the boys have found whatever they thought were your main tools and lost them.
Yeah. And that sounds like a great idea, and I do that. I've got at least three sets of everything, and I still can't find them.
I don't have to worry about my wife. She doesn't use tools. She uses silverware. I don't know how she makes that crap work, but It's like I never lose any of my tools. So now I've got 18 sets of all kinds of tools all over the house that, you know, since I don't have the boys in the house anymore, nothing ever gets lost. And it's like, now what do I do with all this crap?
but you got butter knives that are all been used as flathead screwdrivers.
Yeah, the ends are all twisted, you know. You got to be careful how you use them. You can hurt yourself.
That's too funny. I actually got Debbie, I bought her own cordless screw gun because mine kept disappearing. She would use it here, use it there. And I'm like, you know what? You need your own cordless screw gun. So I got her one.
You know what the big problem with cordless things are? Whenever you go to use them, the batteries are always freaking dead.
I always have a two or three spare batteries in the charger. You know, so there's a spare battery in it. Oh, there's a spare battery in the charger and an actual battery in it. So realistically, she always has it covered. But, yeah. Yeah, because I got sick and tired of trying to find my DeWalt. I'm like, where the hell's my friggin' battery? Where's my DeWalt cordless screw gun? Where's my this? Where's my that? Mm-hmm. Now, you know what? You're getting your own. Bought her a Milwaukee. There's no chance of confusing the two.
Yeah. So... Well, and that's why I love doing projects around here, because no matter what... Oh, that should take me 10 minutes. 4 hours later. And a lot of cursing. And
yeah, I was going to say, nothing ever gets done without the right amount of swearing either.
Yeah, so... Yes. But, so that was that. And on the FreeNAS project... last week I was telling you I was a little perplexed because Plex wasn't working, and I thought it was a permissions problem. Well, it kind of was, but really what it was I was pointing it to the wrong set of directories to look at. So it was happily doing what it thought was right. Unfortunately, the directories I set up weren't the ones it was looking at. So after I figured that out, it's working like a champ now. So I've got Plex on all my machines and all my Rokus, and everything's very nice. As a matter of fact, I looked through the Plex channels, and I said, hey, this is pretty nice. So I ended up going ahead and buying a year's worth of Plex service for their channels, because they've got some pretty nice channels on there. And so I'm happy with Plex right now, and everything seems to be up and running great with the... the FreeNAS system, which you guys will tell me again, is how much is it up to? Yeah, it's probably about $400 now. FreeNAS system.
FreeNAS, okay.
but it's working great, and I can't complain. And it was good, and I'm in full control of it. That's the nice thing too. So I get to decide when to update it. I can add stuff to it, add-ins and things to it. Hell, if you want to get creative, you can even make your own add-ins if you want. Let me hit a speed test again here. We'll just keep those going.
Speed pass.
So that'll probably be the last you hear of the FreeNAS project for a while until I get two more drives and update it. Now, with all this problem and Cyloning and... my problems with Failpoint, which, by the way, they're still on strike.
Really?
Yes, they're still on strike. That doesn't help matters.
What are they striking over? Are they complaining about how bad they suck?
I don't know what the... I think it's benefits. They actually may have to pay for some of their health benefits. And, you know, they've never had to do that
before. Maybe if they pay benefits, they'll actually get real engineers.
Yeah, really. But while this was all going on, I have to tell you that the FCC came in this week and redefined broadband.
Uh-oh.
And you know what?
Gonna get crazy.
I just want to tell you, the three of us here, we no longer have broadband.
What do we have?
Sub-broadband.
Sub-broadband.
Because the new definition for broadband is 25 MIPS down and 3 MIPS up. That's the minimum speeds, according to the FCC. And, of course, all the ISPs are having a fit about this because now they can't claim they're providing broadband. Now, the cable companies are all saying, well, we already provide that. But the telcos and people like that, they're no longer providing broadband. How about that?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. So, of course, there's all the brouhaha, too, where the FCC wants to take over the internet. And there are pros and cons on that, and I don't know where I sit on that yet.
Leave it alone.
I think it depends how they do it, because leaving it up to major American corporations is definitely not going to be a good way to go. I think it needs to be looked at the same way that public utilities are, the same way that we regulate electricity use and things like that. It should be that way, so that that costs are watched and services are watched. And you know, I think maybe this saying what actually is truly broadband might be one step in that direction, saying, look, if you're not up to this level, you can't say you're offering broadband.
And I, right now, I'm tending to agree with you, Barty. However, on the other hand, the problem is anything that the government regulates or starts to regulate is something they love to tax.
Yeah.
And that's,
And they're doing such a wonderful job with healthcare.
Exactly.
They will screw it up fluently.
Exactly.
Get screwed to the max. Leave it up to, I'd rather have to deal with commercial companies charging what they want or trying to run rampant with it. I mean, I agree with you. It ought to be watched like the power companies by the government, but not run by the government. And the reason, because you get the government involved, someone will get power hungry. Someone will say, well, how's this a moneymaker for us? Like to Barry's point, they'll try and tax it. Oh, for every second that you're on, we're going to assess you a half a cent tax. Mm-hmm. Or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Then there'll be probably in the neighborhood about 2 million inept individuals working for that new department who will somehow crash the fucking internet. You know that'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's a government agency that runs it.
The only problem is that if we let it go the way it's going now and let basically Comcast and whoever else is left take care of it, then that means if you spend a small amount of money a month for internet access, you will not be able to stream things from Netflix without paying an additional fee for more broadband access. Mm. They already want to do that. They want to charge Netflix for what they run across their network, and then they want to charge you for using Netflix for the same time, and basically charging twice for
double
the same
dipping.
Thing.
Double yeah. dipping for the same time.
You know, so I think that we need to have some way to keep that from happening, because we don't want to have like a 10-lane highway and you got to pay by how many lanes you use, you know, and the prices are going to be just like cable. You're going to be paying for all the lanes you want, whether you're currently using them or not, you know.
Right.
It's yeah, I can see the problem is, you know, I can see it both ways, because the problem is when you let commercial companies run everything, they don't give a shit about people that live in the rural area, because frankly it doesn't pay them to put service out there. They're not making a lot of money, and of course the government wants everybody to have access. So I mean, let's face it, there would not be telephone coverage in the rural areas probably today if it wasn't for the government saying you have to do it. Of course, if you look at your telephone bill, there's still that fee about putting, you know, or allowing telephone service out in the rural areas. And of course, up until a few years ago, we were paying for the War of 1812 with it too, somehow. And so the government to say, look, if you're going to provide service, you got to provide it to everybody. I kind of agree with that, because otherwise, you know, if you choose to live out in the rural area, and yes, it is your choice, but, you know, like I said, I've got one, well, maybe two choices in internet service, and that's it, and they're not good. And, you know, if I ask the cable company, look, you know, of course, I don't agree with this either. The frickin' towns around here, I'm not sure if it's this way in New York, Barty. It probably is. But the town gets to pick and choose what cable company is going to come in and set up shop.
Well, we don't have cable out here, so that whole discussion is rather moot.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how it gets decided in those localities that do have cable. I think that's decided more at the state level. They carve it up between Time Warner and Comcast. Those are the only two cable entities across the state that I'm aware of.
Hmm.
And neither one of them will come out here because it's just not cost effective. You know, so I'm lucky to get crappy DSL, and it's not full speed DSL, even though they say it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to get what I've got because, you know, my only other option is to go with satellite, which is better than dial up, but you can't do any online gaming with it because of the latency.
Hmm. And I I've asked the cable company and they said it's not cost effective for us to go out there. And part of that is PSNH, our power company, because back in the day, a while back in history, the towns used to own the telephone poles, and the towns are responsible for maintaining the poles and I think the wires and everything. And PSNH came in and said, look, you really don't want to deal with this. You know what? Sell us your poles and we'll take care of it for you. So most of the town said that's a good idea and they did it. So now PSNH owns all the poles. And you know what they do? They charge rent for anybody that wants to hang a wire on those poles per pole. And so
Wow. The
cable company said, in order for us to just break even to come out to your house or go anywhere, we have to have at least 14 subscribers per mile to break even. And yeah, I checked where the cable ends and to my house is exactly 1 mile. Seriously, it's exactly 1 mile. And there is exactly 14 houses between where it ends and my house. I think I'm the 14th house, which means everybody on the road would have to agree to sign up for the cable, and then they may bring it out this way, and then they're just breaking even. They're not even making money on us. So so I see their point too. So I don't know. There's got to be a happy in between here.
Do a speed test, Barry.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's in the middle of a speed test, and it's screwing up. It can't get an upload speed. Am I Cyloning bad?
Yeah, it's hard to figure out what you're trying to say.
I'm sorry, guys. Luckily, it'll sound okay on the internet. It's just you don't know what the hell I'm saying.
It's all internet related.
Yes, it is. Oh, and speaking of that, that was another announcement that was made either this week or last week. PSNH is, they were owned by a big company, and I think it just got larger, but they're changing the name of PSNH to Eversource.
To what?
Eversource.
Eversource.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be fun. Next blackout.
No source. Who owns Eversource?
Never source. Michael came up with a good one. Outsourced.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, jeez, this is horrible. Oh, bad ping. Ah! And download speeds are dropping. 2.6.
Let's see here.
Sorry, guys. It's still trying to do a download speed check. Am I still Cyloning to you?
Not now. Not okay. The second.
Yeah, of course, because I'm doing a speed test. Okay. I think I'm through all my... And Michael put a thing about PodCamp Toronto. He signed up for it. I know...
Yeah?
I know that Bob put a link to... the application or the form to
the registration. Yep.
Registration, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I'm with the weather that's coming in these days, I know I'm not gonna make it. It's only a couple of weeks away. I'm good for the July thing, June or July thing, but
Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah, the Marshall McLuhan, the round table. I'll definitely go to that. But this weather, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, it's just we've been having too much crappy weather here.
Well, you know, you figure if you take 2 days off of work to go to it, and you figure a day to drive out there,
yeah,
and then get slammed with snow, you could find yourself a week.
yeah.
Somewhere trying to get home again.
Right, or several days to get back home or something. So the February thing's just not going to, especially when, like I said, we got to go past Barty's house, which is known for snow, and Buffalo, which is known for snow. And, we got to drive through all the bad sections.
Yeah, so. Places that just get a dusting.
Yeah. so it's looking pretty doubtful for the February event, but definitely the summer event, I will definitely be planning on that.
Yep, so. Same here. We'll probably carpool.
We can do that. That would be cool.
That would be very cool. Yeah. Air conditioning charged up, no onion rings in the car. That would make a fun trip, definitely, and a cooler full of Monster Energy drinks.
Monster Energy drinks, and we'll bring a bottle of Jim Beam Fire for everybody.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
I guess that brings us to App Review, which I don't have a song for that, and you guys probably couldn't hear it. I've got two. I got to say, Microsoft Outlook came out with Microsoft Outlook for iOS, and I got to tell you, it's a damn good app, and it's free for your email. I'm using it right now. Speed I'm kind of liking it.
Speed pass.
Oh, sorry.
Speed pass.
Check your speed, Barry.
I am. I'm checking it. I just clicked the button. Am I clearing up yet? Oh, this isn't good. I'm not even getting a ping. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Yeah. You know, with talking about Microsoft Outlook for iOS, when I saw that in the show notes, I downloaded it to my iPad and kicked it around. Uh-huh. And I agree with you. I think it is a pretty nice app. It's better than Apple's Mail app, I think.
Definitely.
I've always kind of liked Outlook anyway. Maybe just because I'm used to it from using it for decades. But right. I think it works rather nice on an iPad.
I'm managing 5 email accounts on it, and it's really nice. And it's becoming my mail app of choice right now. My previous one was Mailbox, not Apple Mailbox, but the Mailbox one. And that was good because it had the swiping thing. Well, now Outlook has the swiping thing, and you get to define what the swipes are in the settings, what they do.
The swiping thing?
Yeah, where you can you look at the title and you can say, junk, archive it, save it for later, archive. If you can't sit there and go through all your mail and you want to do a quick shuffle of it. But it's they let you define what the swipes mean, so that's cool. I really like that, and so far I'm enjoying it. And I'll tell you, I was going through all the CNET things for the Windows 10 announcement, and I gotta say, hang on.
Because there's something about ASMIT, and then I was like, ASMIT,
right?
I'm doing a speed test.
Is that like a tea cozy?
Oh, boy. Yeah. This is a great podcast tonight.
It's all about, you know what? There's the title, Ass Mittens and Tea Cozy.
I remember that. Oh, God. I watched some of the Windows 10 announcement, and I got to say, the new CEO is making a world of difference for Microsoft. I think they're coming out with some really good products now, and You know, it's a shame they got such a late start in the tablet community, because what they're doing with Windows 10, from PCs to tablets to phones, it's everything Apple's been trying to do and not doing a good job at. So,
The Surface 3 is not a bad tablet. It's just that it's awfully expensive. I think that's why they're in their ads. They are targeting it towards people that would be looking at buying a MacBook Air as opposed to an iPad, because it more directly competes with a small laptop type device.
Right.
You know, in its price point, you know, because really the entry level one, you're not really going to want to buy. You're going to want to get the one that has the detachable keyboard and that has enough memory and processing speed to really push Windows well. You know, the entry level one, you're not going to really be able to do much with it, you know. So, you know, realistically, you're looking at the mid one to the top level one. Yeah. And, of course, they never tell you that the keyboard costs extra, despite the fact that they always show it with a keyboard. Which, you know, for an extra expense, you can get a keyboard of various types for the iPad as well, including a Bluetooth one from Apple.
Uh-huh.
You know, the same one that you use on your iMac and stuff will work with the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of like having an on-screen keyboard.
But the here's the thing with Windows, with companies especially, you know, when they come out with Windows 10, and then our company catches up and actually upgrades to Windows 10 3 to 4 years from now. Because,
when Windows 12 is out.
Yeah. I could see them switching away from iPads and going to Windows, because if it's as seamless as it seems, you'll be able to move from your desktop to your tablet to your phone and still see the same document in the exact same way using the exact same software. That's a pretty interesting thing that they're doing there.
Well, you could do that now because you have the Microsoft apps on the iPad. You can edit it on your desktop PC and put it up in OneDrive and then open it up on your iPad and be able to use it.
Yes, you can.
I'm doing that now.
And they're making it even more seamless with Windows 10. The OneDrive is one of the things that's, you know, the focus of being able to do this. But the thing is right now, if you open up a Windows product on an iPhone, or an iPad, it's not exactly like what you're running on your PC. It's close, but there are differences. If you buy all Windows products, it's going to be exactly the same across all the different devices, and that is something. That is, I mean, it sounds like a small thing, but it's really big when you're used to working a product on one platform or device, and you can switch over to another device and just continue where you left off. I mean, if they can pull it off, it's going to be really good.
The only problem I have from going through working with Excel or Word files from a desktop to the iPad is the fact that I'm so used to using a mouse with those things, and without the mouse, it's a lot harder.
Well, you have to get used to working with the tablet, but they do have the tablet.
Because I don't find that big a difference, you know, other than, you know, the smaller screen, you know, that everything gets scrunched up on a smaller screen, or you're sliding all around trying to get to where you want.
I find that the ribbons are different. And so where I'm used to going to find certain things on ribbons, oh, geez, it's over here in a different place on another device.
I don't use the ribbons. So. I use the menus.
Okay, well, I didn't know they had menus left on my PCs at work with the versions we're using. It's just all you got is ribbons now. You don't have really the drop-down menus anymore. They just send you to the ribbons. Yeah, and then you click on whatever, and then everything changes on the ribbon. Getting used to it now, finally.
I think there's a third-party utility you can get that puts the menus back in there.
Well, that's good. I'm sure my company's not going to buy it.
I've still got all the ribbons on there, but I ignore them because I don't know what half that crap is.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem I have. And Joel right now is looking up diesel trucks.
Diesel trucks?
Yeah, I can guarantee you he's busy looking at diesel trucks on the internet.
Shut up!
Okay.
Well, we'll continue on to the next thing, which I actually want to demo. Let me plug in my phone. Notice I didn't turn down the volume.
Sure, try using more bandwidth.
Google came out with an upgrade on their Translate program this week. And let me get it up here.
You get it up there.
So now not only can you type in things and it will translate for you, and you can take pictures of things and it'll translate the things in the picture, but now they have the voice part, and I've got this set up from English to French, and I can do this. Try it here. Hello, how are you?
Bonjour, comment allez-vous?
What time is it?
Buy a fucking watch.
What time is it?
Quelle heure est-il?
Thank you very much for this demonstration.
Merci beaucoup pour cette démonstration.
And that's, I find, pretty freaking amazing. If you don't know a language, you can now go to a country with this, and hopefully it won't say,
get your face slapped
when you're asking where the bathroom is. It tells you your breath smells like dog farts or something.
You know what? Somebody ought to tell Bill Gates about this, because he was just recently saying that the one thing he's most embarrassed about is that he does not know another language. So Bill could really use this Google product.
And there you are.
I'm sorry. Did I laugh out loud?
Translate that, buddy.
Unbelievable. I think it's fast. It's nice. I picked French because I've taken at least 6 years of French between high school, junior high school, and college, and still can't speak a damn word, but I can kind of tell what's right and what's wrong. And I think it does a pretty damn good job. You can sit there and have a conversation, just hold the phone up between you and the other person.
Yeah. That does sound pretty cool. Yeah. I wonder how accurate it actually is.
Well,
it sounds good.
As long as you keep it simple, I think you're fine.
The only thing is that it probably speaks Parisian French, where I would most be interested in Canadian French.
Right, which is a lot more...
a lot more cussing?
Practical for your needs. For us, too. I mean, you know, speak French-Canadian.
But so. If you... Yeah, you can speak French-Canadian, but if you speak Parisian French, keep it to the basics. I think Canadians will understand what you're saying. Right? It's like the difference between UK English and American English.
Pretty much.
So, So I think as long as you keep it simple, you'll be good.
Yeah, you talked about how you took so many classes in French.
Yeah.
I started school a year late because I didn't know enough English.
Wow.
Because I was born in France, mm-hmm. and my mother was Canadian, and my dad was Canadian-American. His family had come down. He was born in New Hampshire, but his family had come down from Quebec. And so he spoke French all his life, and that's all my parents spoke when I was a kid.
Wow.
So when I started school, I didn't know enough English to hack it, so I had to wait a year and learn more English.
Wow. So, Barty, you were born with your hands up in the air?
Yes, exactly. And a bottle of wine in my mouth. But I can't speak a word of French anymore, because after so many years of not speaking it, I've lost that.
That's a shame. That really is
But
a
I can
shame.
Understand when a Frenchman is swearing. Let me tell you that.
I really think that they should start teaching a second language when kids are, you know, hell, preschool, because that's when your brain is, you know, your brain is set to learn language then.
Speed pass. It sounded basically like you said, rip, 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 rip,
school. Blip, blip, blip. That's all we heard. I knew what you were trying to say. But the Cylons.
Yeah, something about your brain in a pool or something.
Peed during school.
You peed at school?
Oh, God. Let's not even get past the ping test.
You know, it's definitely, it's anything but boring. Certainly keeps it interesting.
Yeah, we're guessing. What the hell is he saying?
Oh. He said he peed.
Oh, no, that's my download speed. Never mind. Yeah, download speed's good. Am I coming in clear now? Of course I am. I'm running a speed test.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, yeah, indeed. And you're running out of things to talk about, because now we're moving on to bottom gear, where we're going to get to hear Joel talk. He'll be nice and clear.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go right on to bottom gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. And as it happens, of the four of us, two of us have some little stories to tell for Bottom Gear, but one of us is not here. He's busy working. So I'll jump in with a little story about Goldfinger. Damn, I love that. Anyway, so thank you, Barry. I literally, the story basically starts off a little something like this. So about a week ago, everybody obviously in the New England area, you know, we're getting bombarded with media coverage about the impending, you know, doomsday storm of 2015, the non-blizzard nor'easter storm of 2015. And actually, by the way, I have to throw this in here. Barry, you were right. I was wrong. By definition, it was not a blizzard. So there, I'm wrong. I'll say I'm wrong. And I was wrong. I reread it and dug a little deeper into the National Weather Service's website. You were right. Well, that's to say, the suck storm of 2015, everybody was getting ready for. And much like myself, like other folks, I myself said, okay, well, I probably ought to run to the grocery store after work, get bread, milk, toilet paper, yada, 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 you know, the usual jazz. So I went ahead, and why do I have diesel trucks running in the background on my computer? It's because I'm watching diesel trucks. Anyway.
It was during that tech update we did.
Yeah. Diesel trucks. So, yeah, I went ahead, and I worked a little bit late, and I thought, well, you know what? I got a hankering for Sloppy Joe's. So it was about 5:30, and I called my beautiful bride, said, hey, I'm heading home. She's like, cool. She said, this is what I'm making for dinner. So I'm pretty, you know, jazzed. I'm like, cool. Looking forward to getting home. And there's three, let's call them supremely shitty highways in New England, that if there's going to be an accident, it will be on one of these three, guaranteed. I have to drive on all three for my commute to and from work. And at the shittiest times of the day, rush hour traffic. I made it from one of them, or from highway number two, and was on the final highway, number three, Route 3 North, and I mentioned this last week, I believe. But and when my car broke down, put my foot in the tank, boom, dead, nothing. I'm coasting. There's about 7 billion cars, and I realize I got to get over to the side of the road, and I'm two lanes into the left. All I have is the momentum that I got. Once that's gone, I got to get out and push, but I can't because there's too many cars around me. The minute I open my door, it'll be taken off.
Yep.
So I tried to, you know, work my way to the right, work my way to the right while coasting. I threw it in neutral, and I'm hitting the key, trying to start the car while it's rolling. Of course, it won't start. And people keep honking, and they're trying to move to the left. I'm trying to go to the right. At one point, when I realized if I don't make a move now, I am going to roll to a stop
in between the far right lane and the lane immediately to its left. I'll be in between the two during the worst time of the day on the worst highway. So I turned on my indicator to go right and just yanked the wheel and figured, fuck it. If somebody's there, they're either going to move or they're going to get hit. But I have to get to the right side of that road, to the breakdown lane, to the shoulder. And lo and behold, you know what? They moved. It was a guy in a BMW. So I was able to make my way over to the right, coasted to a stop, called my beautiful bride, said, I'm going to be a little late. Goldfinger has left me sit and will not start, will not run. Called up AAA. They showed up. Really, really, really excellent, excellent service. So we're a AAA Premium Premier, which is automotive. What is it? Automotive Association. The fuck does that stand for?
Automobile Association of America.
There you go.
That's it. Thank you. And so I called them up. They were there in under 40 minutes.
Wow. That's good.
Showed up with a flatbed, bring the car up. The driver was really super polite. Dropped me off at my house on his way to drop the car off at the garage. So naturally, I mean, I said to the guy, hey, is there any chance that you could do this so my wife doesn't have to come out to the garage and, you know, drive all the way up to Jaffrey to come get me? Mm-hmm. He said, oh, yeah. And he said, no problem, man. And I said, yeah, I know you guys. He says, you're probably not supposed to. He says, it's up to us. He says, don't worry about it. So in my way of trying to say, hey, thanks for saving, you know, my wife having to go out and fetch me, I threw the guy $20. So let me buy you dinner tonight. You know, you're working.
That's nice.
Late. Yeah. Here's $20. Let me buy you dinner.
You're a pretty class guy, man.
So you know what? He didn't have to do it, and he saved my wife having to get all her winter clothes on, get in her car, drive in shitty rush hour traffic until she got into the woods up to Jaffrey to pick my ass up, and then drive an hour and 10 minutes back down to here. So it's the least I could do. And so Dr. had towed up to Dr. Kenny's at Big and Small up in Jaffrey. And this so begins the diagnosis process, which, as I had said to him, dude, battery's dead, doesn't run. I think all the antifreeze is gone, but don't quote me. I'm not sure what the hell it is. And he went through and diagnosed and diagnosed and diagnosed and found a series of weird-ass coincidental things. It just happened at the perfect. It was like the perfect friggin' storm. A piece of insulation fell down from a hot air box, blocked the air intake hole, causing the car to want to starve. It starved it for oxygen while running, which dented the mass airflow sensor, which caused the car to need air so bad that it sucked in and blew its own intake manifold gasket. But at a point where it's at a water jacket, so it sucked antifreeze all into the valley between where all the lifters and connecting rods are, and filled it. Filled the air box. Filled the air tube with antifreeze. Until eventually the car had a misfire, misdetonation, through a code, engine light comes on, car shuts off. It consisted of removing the entire almost the top half of the entire motor. The only thing he did not have to take off is the heads. Had to take off valve covers, plenum, fuel injection, upper intake manifold, lower intake manifold, all the way down, and replace the gaskets. I needed a new intake manifold, complete intake manifold, and the gaskets, and reassemble everything from the soup. From basically halfway the motor, from the whole top half of the motor. Water pump had to come off, everything. Everything, everything, everything. And friend price, I think I got a way cheap $700.
Yeah, but, really?
Nice. Yeah, that was friend price. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it pays to, you know, twist wrenches with a buddy just because he's cool, and I like twisting wrenches, so I go up and help him on weekends. But this time it's just like, look, dude, I got to work. Just fucking fix it. And let me know when it's done. Well, I picked it up today. Boy, does that car drive nice now.
Nice. Sweet. I noticed when you stopped in the driveway that it kicked off on the first start.
You just bump the key and it fires right up.
Yeah, that was
the computer is still learning now. Because once you tear down the motor, take out the ECU, it has to relearn your driving habits and relearn its conditions for, and then it'll adjust accordingly for optimum driving for fuel, you know, minimize the fuel consumption, maximize the power, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But, man, has that thing got some boot and scoot now? I got on Route 3 and I put my foot in it and figured, well, if the gaskets, if all these new gaskets and seals aren't sealed, I'm going to know about it right now. And I dumped my foot in it and opened her up to 90 miles an hour. And, you know, passing gear in the works. Man, is this thing just, it flies.
Nice.
So, I'm real happy about that. Nice to get my car back. Nice to get a car back and to be able to drive that I actually fit in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always pleasant.
Oh, my God. I'm just, it's just so enjoyable to drive. And I still have my EL and my, what you guys, what'd you say, my ELO? on the Late Night Killer Rampage. Who the hell was that? It was Doug. And it was us. Somebody else had also mentioned it too. So I'm like, oh, well, I wonder if the tape deck healed. I'll shove the tape in and listen to my podcast. Nope, I still got ELO, so I use the FM transmitter. I hate that, by the way. Doug, you're right. Those FM transmitters, yes, they do work, and yes, it gives you the capability of kind of hearing what's on your iPhone, but the static and interruption suck.
Yeah.
But so Goldfinger's back. He's out. Top half of the motor is all brand new.
Nice.
And now, what it taught me was a very valuable lesson. I mentioned this to Barry because I stopped over his house this evening, which is at any given point in time, Barry will tell you, my wife will tell you, I'm usually a person who has 3 to 4 cars or trucks or a combination thereof. This particular stretch or patch in my life is the only time I've ever been down to 3 vehicles. My daughter has Wilson.
Oh!
Wilson! Wilson!
My beautiful bride, Debbie, has her Neon, which we don't have a song for.
Beauty.
It should sound like, yeah, I know. It just sounds like something like from Fraggle Rock. And then I've got Goldfinger. And I don't like Goldfinger. Oh, she didn't do it. All right, anyway.
Goldfinger.
Can you tell I'm a big James Bond fan? So anyway, I said to Barry, never again will I find myself in a position where I personally don't have at least 2 to 3 inspected, registered, and ready-to-roll vehicles at a moment's notice. And that also goes back to why I have 9 spaces in my driveway for parking. So, as I had said to him, the next one, in my my beautiful bride said to me, well, you know, the boy's going to be driving here in July. I says, yep. And we're going to need to get him something that, like Wilson, will probably be abused and neglected by a new driver. And she said, you know, the Neon's a perfect candidate for that. And I said, And she says, I really would like a Jeep. And I went, really? And she says, yeah, I want ground clearance. And I don't want to have to worry about puddles and all that, you know, low to the ground crap. And I says, all righty then. So I still have Project Jeep up at Kenny's place, which is the QRM Jeep. But that one's a standard transmission. She's like, nope, I want an automatic. And I said, what do you want, 2 or 4 doors? And she says, I don't know. Well, let me research it, and I'll get back to you. I says, don't rule out the Toyota FJ Cruiser.
Yeah, that's
they're
nice
just like a Jeep, but they're kick-ass.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, I'll do some research. And but, yeah, so we're going to find ourselves with at least FJ or a Jeep for her. I got my Jeep, which I got to finish working on, and I'm buying a truck. And I'm going to keep Goldfinger.
Well, Debbie, when she stopped by, she was telling us about what they found about your car. And Well, I liked how she put it. Well, you know, Joel, he's a little rough on vehicles.
Oh, she, oh God, and she always. Look, I work a machine for what the machine's designed to do. Some people use machines and tools at to the very minimum of what they're designed to, you know, to be used for and used like and used with. I tend to use machines and tools to the maximum it was designed for. That's just my nature, you know. If I'm a firm believer, you got to take a car for a beat run. Yeah. Any car that you drive and you cream puff around with and this and that, you're not doing yourself any favors. Mm-hmm. And I am a tad aggressive when it comes to driving. I love to go four wheeling. Mm-hmm. I'd be lying if I said I haven't jumped a concrete median or two with my pickup trucks.
Well, yeah, they're made for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all my trucks I run with lift kits. Mm-hmm. So that little concrete berm that's, you know, 9 inches tall that divides, you know, the on ramp from the highway, that I drive right over that at 60 miles an hour. But, and the funny thing is the reaction you get from your kids when you do it, when they're in the truck. Traffic was backed up to the ever-loving eighth degree, and kids had to go to a football game. And I'll never forget that. And this is the time they were in the truck, and we had this, like, 8-inch curb that was dividing the on-ramp for where we were trying to get on the 495, and mm-hmm. cars are backed up, but there's no cars in the far right lane of 495. I'm like, fuck this. And I drove right over top of it, got in the 495, right down. And or paint, you know, the lines on the road, you know, they're only made of paint, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can drive on them. Really don't care. Hmm. And so, oh, you can't cross the line. Sure, I can. Look, the tire rolls right over top of it.
And I'm bigger than that one coming right at us. He'll move out of the way.
They'll move. I'm bigger. That's typically the way. Yeah, I try not to. I don't cut people off, but that's paint. I mean,
you don't cut people off because you're not a Massachusetts driver.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, but if I see a hole that I know I'll fit in, I ain't waiting till that little piece of paint's gone. That's paint, man. You know what happens when it snows? You can't see the paint. I'll drive right over top of that, too. And I have no problem with that. You know, that's why I got to get another truck again, because I'm a little too hard on the cars. They're not quite designed for the way I drive. Yeah.
That's pretty much what Debbie said.
So they tend to break. But, yeah. So that's it. Goldfinger's out. I got him sitting in the driveway, and yes. Why am I happy he's there? And that's also why you heard... while we were doing this podcast, because, yes, I'm looking at diesels, and I realize I'm not getting anything smaller than a 3/4 ton. I want to make sure it's got a strong enough frame for the way I'm going to beat the bejesus out. I don't want to beat the bag out of whatever I'm driving.
Oh, God. Why don't you get into one of those programs and get one of those military...
Yeah, Joel Devin needs a program.
What are they called? Those military things that all the police, the little town police forces are getting now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, but you mean those are all retired... police vehicles that are retired military ones.
No, the big ones, you know, with the...
Yeah, the armored ones.
Yeah, the armored ones. You should get one.
Well, I was looking at the Hummer H1, but I want a bed.
You want... My biggest problem.
The Hummer H1's a full diesel truck, mm-hmm. military version, not the cushy pussy one.
The Chinese-made one?
Yeah, exactly.
The Humvee.
The Humvee, right, which is made by... The Humvee is a Hummer. But it's called the H1 Humvee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was looking at that, and I really want a bed because I like to throw shit. You know.
Yeah.
I am a firm believer, especially when I go up to Monadnock. People put shit outside all the time, and literally you look at it and go, "Wow, somebody threw away a perfectly good fucking pellet stove, but one motor's burned out." I need to drive a truck because I'll pick that sumbitch up off the side of the road and throw it in the bed of my truck.
Yep.
I've done it.
Fix it.
And then I fix it. I pull the motor out, put a new motor in it, brand new. Runs great. Stick it in the house. But you have to have a bed. I have a chest freezer that's 8 feet long, 4 feet deep that I got off the side of the road. That someone had a sign that said free. Works. Pulled over, threw it in my one-ton truck, came home. And we had that thing for years, and it still worked when we got rid of it. So, having a car, you know how hard it is to throw a coal stove in the trunk of a car?
Oh, God.
It doesn't end well. I'm just saying. It doesn't end well.
So no.
That's why I got to have a truck.
No.
The last three snowblowers that I had, all of them, I got for free. Or no, a Honda I paid $5. And I got it from the dump, and I rebuilt it. Sit at home, rebuilt it, drinking beers and hanging out, blah, 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 perfectly working snowblowers. And I kept the Honda and got rid of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to have a truck, man. I got to have one.
I miss my truck so bad.
Diesel. I'm sorry. It's got to be a diesel. Because I know diesel trucks, like Michael said, his engine weighs more than most half-ton pickups, just the engine.
Yeah.
The frame is double the thickness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you start getting into the one-ton, three-quarters and one-tons, and especially with the diesels, and I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of playing. The last half-ton truck I got, which you guys know is my Chevy, I fucking broke it 7 times. I just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
I cracked the frame 5 times on it, blew the rear end out, blew the transmission out on it. I'm like, this thing's a pussy. It's a half-ton truck. I will never make that mistake again.
Oh, God.
Well, Michael has a Cummins diesel in his, right?
Yes, this is a 3/4-ton diesel. So
that's like a no-shit diesel.
Here you go. And so I'm looking at devs, and I'm looking at the Fords. You got Ford F-350s.
Mm-hmm. I miss mine, even though I had a lowly 150. I loved that truck, but it was a lousy commuter vehicle. It really was. But for everything else, man, it was great. Yeah. It was
great. Yep. Sometimes there's just no damn substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it's, you know, I said, I got to figure out what I want for toys. I'm done with motorcycles now, so Jeeps, diesel trucks, and I'll have Goldfinger as my comfort. My everyday, take my wife out to dinner, go to the movies, go someplace comfortable vehicle.
Yeah, that works.
But at the same time, too, they're not overly wearing out any one vehicle because the other two will be sitting when I'm using the third one. You know what I mean?
And right now, gas prices are great. Did you notice the Sunoco in Jaffrey today?
No, God, yeah. I paid $1.90.
It was $1.99 when I went past.
Yeah, I went to the mobile right there at past Gilmore Pond.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I took the other way from your house, and I went to the right, and then came out on a 202, and I took the I went to the Exxon Mobil.
Yeah.
And, it was $1.91 for regular there.
Really?
Which I usually,
wow.
Yeah, I usually don't put regular in, but today I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Squirt regular in it. See how it does.
Yeah. Yeah, you're recalibrating the computer anyway.
Exactly. I mean, I usually always run premium for fuel. I believe in premium oil and premium fuel.
Mm.
But, it's cheap. It's cheap for now anyway.
Yeah, for now. We'll see.
Yeah, see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of it's got to do with Saudi Arabia trying to get us to stop fracking and
shale, all the shale oil. Right.
Yeah,
they're trying to make it so unattractive and overpriced for us to want to refine our own shale oil that they'll make theirs cheap.
You know what that tells
me? Plus, they're also pissed at the Russians, and it's really kicking the Russians' ass too, because their economy was based upon oil sales, and that's gone through the floor.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know what it tells me? That they artificially cranked the prices up on oil.
Yeah, they did. They artificially they got greedy, and they just kept cranking them up and cranking them up and cranking them up until basically other countries looked around and said, you know what, I'll refine my own or get it from somebody else. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And they're like, you won't do that. Yeah, we will. You're too expensive.
Of course, we get most of our oil from Canada, so that's the bulk of our oil comes from Canada.
Thank you.
But it's one of those things that, you know, the price of oil is based on lots of different places who produce oil. So anyway, well, Michael's not here for his couple stories.
Right. But for those keeping score at home, he's got one Jeep on the road, and the next one should be following shortly.
Right. Yes. So we'll wait. We'll hear about that next week, and then the other one, none of you will miss, except for a few of my fellow Ingress players, because he had an Ingress story.
Speed pass.
What? Yeah, you did what to whom?
Speed pass. Speed pass. Okay, hang on. Hang on.
My God.
God.
I'm flabbergasted.
I'm flatulent.
Well, I had chili for dinner yesterday. That's what I was last night.
Okay, the speed pass is going. Am I getting better?
Oh, yeah. The minute you start doing it, it clears right up.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yep. The minute you speed pass, it clears right up.
Run a speed check. They must be detecting it and just upping your bandwidth.
Just enough so that they keep you quiet.
Yeah, really. Me and Failpoint are going to have another talking. It's not going to do any good, but we'll have another talk. Because I have no threats. If you don't straighten this out, I'm going right back to you.
Stop, or I'll say stop again.
Yeah, exactly.
I got no place to go.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. The phone company's my only option.
Oh, well. But I will call them and next time say, hey, you know, even if you fix my broadband, it's now not broadband anymore.
Oh, really, Mr. Smartass? Make sure we don't fix the Jaffrey, okay? Roll the truck to every other town except that one.
Your neighbors will love you.
13 other people on your street going, really? You had to open your mouth, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about bringing Michael down here and having him set up a grid system like Copper Harbor and hook it into the Comcast or something. Anyway, oh, yes. Beautiful. Well, tomorrow's the big game.
Hey, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Or as we like to call it, and we're not allowed to call it. Uh-oh, I can't find it. Where the
hell? QRM!
Yeah, really? QRM!
No, that's not what I'm looking for. Where the hell did I put it?
I don't know.
On the left.
Yeah, over there on the left, a little down to the down on the left hand side.
Yeah, on the left, down two.
It is on the other
left
way.
Again.
Oh, behind that other thing there,
or as we like to call it, the Super Bowl. You know, every time we say Super Bowl, we can get sued.
Ring a bell.
Well, an angel gets his wings.
You gotta take a drink.
Hey, I'll drink to that.
Exactly.
Ring that damn bell.
Ring the
Super
bell.
Bowl.
Yeah.
You guys don't even remember last year when we were doing that. Every time we mentioned Super Bowl.
Last year? I have a hard time remembering last month, let alone last year. Damn.
You're not allowed to
Holy
use.
Cow, Fred, you want me to remember last year?
You're not allowed to use the term Super Bowl without the written permission from the National Football League.
Earl, stop running that bell, okay?
He's driving his cat nuts.
Can't remember the guy's name. You're not picking up on it. Either that or the joke is that bad.
Earl?
Now, every time he says, you don't remember what we did last year? I can't remember this guy's name, so I called him Fred. Get it? And then I refer to him as Earl. Stop ringing the bell. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be here all week.
All right.
That's
well,
where you live.
I think we're going to call it. For this,
are we under 2 hours?
No, we're not. But if we keep going, we will be. We're getting close.
Wait a minute. What you just said doesn't make any sense. I said, are we under 2 hours? You said, no, we're not. But if we keep going, we will be.
Oh, I
under 2 hours. How the hell's that work backwards?
I thought you said, are we over 2 hours?
If we keep going forward, the time becomes less. It's like the TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside.
It's Nevernote. You're going to put it all into Nevernote.
Oh, my God. Put the whole podcast on Nevernote, and you just gain all that time.
There we go. What an idea. Okay. So, we do have a musical guest tonight, and almost coming to an end of our background commercial songs. But this week, our musical guest is the Bahamas with All the Time.
Cool.
So, that's a pretty nice song, and you may recognize it from the back of a commercial, which I can't remember what commercial it was now.
Thanks for playing along.
When these commercials come on, I usually pay attention to the music if I like the music. I don't pay attention to what's in the frickin' commercial. So, anyway.
Speed pass.
Speed check, yep.
Sorry. There we go. Speed test enacted. There we go. Let's see what my ping time is. 55. My ping time is 55.
Just cleared up.
And I'm doing five MIPS down right now. Unbelievable. Okay, so let's get this done. Every week we say, and we continue to say to all our military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the front line like that. And especially you OCONUS guys, we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. And until you do, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. And that's it. So while they can still understand me on the other end of this very bad hangout line, thank you, Failpoint. I, from the Monadnock region of, where am I? Southwest New Hampshire. That's where I am. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, waiting for another storm of the century, this is Joel.
And up here in the Tug Hill, this is Barty.
And Michael's out there saving somebody's life right now. It's a daily routine with him. So we'll say goodbye to Michael, who's out in Upperville saving Upper lives. So until next week, that's show 170. 171 next week. And here is the Bahamas.
I got all the time in the world. Don't you want some of that? Yeah.
Samson, speak. Good boy.